Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you on April 17th, 2022, Easter Sunday. My guests have all curtailed their egg hunting activities to be on the show with us now today. Welcome, John Erler, Renan Hirschberg, and Sam the Ma'am Levine.
Hey, Doug.
Hi, fellas. Thanks for holding your laughter until the end of that. A lot of solid jokes in there. Mm-hmm. Let's meet everybody individually and alphabetically, starting with John the Con Erler is here.
You're on fire this afternoon, Doug. Thank you for having me.
I was lighting something on fire a few minutes ago, but hey. hopefully I'm not physically on fire. How many days have you taken this thing down, you slithery snake? How many weeks have you been the ongoing champion?
Oh, can you hear me still?
Yes.
Okay, because my mic light went out. I haven't been keeping track. I'm just here enjoying the ride. I just, you know, life's a game, and you know, I love being on the show, and so it's been three times, I believe.
Okay, well, I know it's been an unprecedented run in these times. There was a five show run by somebody I think last year maybe. But, you know, lately the turnover is almost instantaneous from episode to episode. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. I feel honored.
And I brought in some big guns today because I'm as much as I love you, I got to put an end to this.
Look, I don't blame you. I wouldn't want me hanging around this show for longer than
I'm kidding. I'm kidding, of course, because nothing would make me happier than to have a permanent guest, someone who just never loses.
Oh, let me be your Ken Jennings.
Would be so great with a Ken Jennings, because then it's like whenever two new people come in, it's like, okay, lambs to the slaughter, let's see what's going to happen here, you know. Yeah.
You know, my friend John Smith, who loves you.
Okay, first of all, let's have his real name.
He's gonna be so upset. His His real name is John Smith, but sometimes he spices it up by putting his middle initial in. And so sometimes he's John W. Smith, just to give him a little pizzazz. Mm-hmm. He listens religiously to your show. I listen, you know, secularly. He listens religiously. And he said, John, if you keep this up, they might have to bring out a big gun like Sam Levine. And guess what? Yes.
Yeah. He said, and then he here said we that. Are. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Was Jeff Tate not available?
I put the Sam signal into the sky, and he calls. He races that's to true. The phone. And also joining us today, but also I think a strong contender for the win. It's Renan the Con Hirschberg. I'm also out of nicknames. Hey, Renan, how's it going?
Good, good. I'm so hurt by John Smith's comment. Now I'm thinking about me.
You didn't let me finish. He said Sam Levine and Renan Hirschberg.
It was a real, Dorothy going, I'll miss you most of all moment. To
so sorry. You're going to take it all tonight because of that. I know. Like, that was my downfall.
Fire in my belly or whatever. I don't know what the phrase is. But, yeah, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
I don't think we're breaking the record for most time zones at once on this show. We've probably done one with four. But right now we are currently in three time zones because Sam and Renan are on the West Coast and John is in Central Time and I'm on Eastern Time on Easter. That's my thing I do every year. I'm like, it's got to be Eastern Time all day long during Easter. Otherwise, I'm too confused. Also joining us, I almost forgot to introduce you because there's already been so much hype talk. The soon to be Mrs. Sam Levine is Lil Wolverine. What's up, Sam? How's it going?
Things are wonderful, Doug. Thank you. And yes, very soon to be Mrs. Sam Levine. I'm very excited.
Yeah. Currently the star of Minx on HBO Minx.
I will debate your use of star, but yes, I'm very, very pleased that I got to be on two very fun episodes of a very cool, very funny show called Minx on HBO Max. All episodes streaming now. Check it out. So much dong. There's so much dong.
It really is like amazing how little ding there is and then how much dong. Like, I've never seen, it's just uneven.
Yes. Well, they're trying to even out the score from the last, I don't know, 40, 50 years. And I'm here for it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fun show. If I didn't like the show, I'd probably be like, too much dong. But since I like it, I'm like, okay, bring it on.
Bring on the dong.
Yeah, but I don't, it's never really that sexual. It's always just dudes standing there, because they're posing for magazine pictures and they're also they're like firemen and stuff. They don't know what to do.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do with that hose. But you're on with our buddy, Eric Edelstein.
The
two of you play just your typical old school shock jock morning radio creeps.
Yep, that is exactly correct. We played.
I haven't seen this episode. It was a guess.
Oh, yes. No, you're absolutely correct. Eric and I play absolute douchebag radio drive time DJs. It was so much fun getting to wear those outfits and be on that super fun retro set. And the cast on that show is unbelievably talented. So that they allowed me to come along and play with them was a real treat. And it's sincerely a really well-written, well-produced, creative show. So I hope you can get past the too many dongs if that's something that's holding you back and check out at least the first few episodes of Minx.
Yeah, and I guess you could fast forward through it or something.
Yeah, skip through the dongs.
If it bothers you, but I think it's, it's about time. It feels like that they're a little, I don't know. I don't know about the timeline of it, but it's fun to imagine that there's a feminist magazine with dudes with their dongs out that
you know, actually existed and was popular.
Well, I believe this is a fictionalization of Playgirl.
Yeah, but Playgirl was like, you know, it was never its, you know, it never had its own, you know what I mean? It was always from the guy who thought of Playboy. This,
fair enough.
In the TV show, this lady comes out of nowhere, finds the right magazine guy, played excellently by Jake Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, it is a really good show. So I'm looking forward to, haven't seen your episodes yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
That's quite all right.
Before we get to the games today, each of you has a heavy responsibility.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I need each one of you to give a hearty, not half-assed, not it's the last thing I thought of before I came on the show, a real genuine recommendation of just one film. John Erler treated us to something called Daredevil recently. Which I actually then proceeded to watch.
Whoa.
By accident, because it was on a hotel TV that only had one HBO channel. So I watched it. A lot of it. I'm not going to lie to you. There was a nap at one point. But I saw a lot of it.
Did you make it to the part where Evanescence shines?
Yeah, they sure do. You're right about that. That really made that song happen. And guess what? Every time there's a song in Daredevil, it's that jarring and annoying that they have such hugely popular songs that barely have anything to do with what's happening in the movie.
Yeah.
It's a real, they had a, it's a very interesting movie. You know, it was Marvel at a time when they were kind of lost and making movies that were too comic booky. Like the movie itself doesn't seem to be taking comic books seriously.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
Is that fair to say?
it's trying to be a certain kind of comic book that later on they abandoned. Like it's it feels like The Crow or like Sin City or like really very literally comic book movies, you know, like it looks like a comic book.
Yeah, but those other movies you mentioned had like a cooler design to them. I mean, Daredevil definitely has some cool stuff, but it also just feels just feels like they're guessing at what like a comic book movie should be.
Yeah. And I think that's right, but I kind of dug it because it's just like, yeah, it was Marvel, but they hadn't figured out what Marvel was at that point. It was like
I just rarely see movies people recommend, especially when it's one that I'm like kind of skeptical on. Like I saw it a long time ago. Or it seemed like I remember it being quite silly, and it's fun to watch because of how silly a lot of it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes those kids in the playground forever to notice that a blind man and a woman are having very acrobatic fighting with each other. But once they notice, they get really into it.
They're so excited. That same motif happens in Catwoman, like which was made around the same time. Like that was a thing in superhero movies, like the two romantic leads, the superhero and their romantic interest. Like in Catwoman, it was a basketball match. Like she and
Benjamin Bratt. Yeah, really crazy.
Yeah, she was doing all kinds of trick basketball with Benjamin Bratt.
As cats and do.
As cats. Yeah, once she got her cat powers, she became great at basketball. And all the kids on the playground were just going nuts watching the two of them do this one-on-one. Like, what was happening in 2003 that this was an important scene to have in a movie?
Well, all that being said, what have you got for us this week?
I can't believe you actually watched Daredevil. I feel like I failed the question. Like Daredevil was the wrong answer to whatever the question was.
It was just a coincidence that I saw.
Okay, I feel better. I'm going to say, I don't know. I rewatched Flash Gordon recently. And so that's not like a new movie, but I do love the 1980 Flash Gordon with Sam Jones, who also, I guess, was in Playgirl back in the day.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah. This all ties together nicely.
I take my role research very seriously. That checks out.
Excellent. Okay, good. but I'm going to, but I've seen that so many times. I'm going to say a movie I hadn't watched.
Oh, you're changing it already? You already gave up on it. You didn't even dive deep into the amazing Queen music that's in it. And the fact that Timothy Dalton is like the first time you see that he can be a fun actor. Cause up to that point, he just seemed like he was the most boring James Bond.
Yeah.
Or around that same time, I believe. Anyway,
no, he's
he
great
still wasn't James Bond yet, right?
Right. He was not Bond yet, but soon, very soon.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Yeah. He played a fun character and then his Bond wasn't that much fun. Yeah. And he's since played fun characters like in Hot Fuzz. Okay, so what are you changing it to, John?
I'm not changing it now. I'm going to stick with it.
Oh, okay. I had crossed it out. Now I got to write it down. All right.
You forgot to mention Brian Blessed, who also steals the movie as the Hawkman.
Didn't he just die?
Oh, did he?
All right, take it back. He's alive. Don't worry about it. I'm thinking of somebody else. I'm thinking of Jack Blessing. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Renan, what do you got for us? Your time's up, John. Renan, do you have for us?
I always mess up that question.
You're already in the hole. You got negative 1 point.
God, I never do well.
I saw X and I really loved it.
Okay, that's come up a couple times now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are into that movie. Speaking of... that kind of 70s vibe we were talking about with Minx is certainly true with X.
Yeah, it has everything. It's like really funny. It's like really suspenseful, even mixture of ding and dong.
Oh.
So, you know, fair across the board for everyone. And it's just great. And also like a lot of good stuff about getting older and stuff. And in its own goofy way, it kind of deals with mortality in a effective way, kind of.
The a gentleman that was on the show a few weeks ago, Solomon Giorgio, if I'm naming names, raved about it, but then went on to say part of what he liked about it was that even though it's a horror movie, it didn't have like gratuitous violence. And so I went into it with that attitude. And I was pretty surprised by how gratuitous some of the violence was.
Well, I guess if you've been underhyped on the violence, I mean, it's not like Hostile or anything, or like, you know.
No, there's no torture per se, but it's never close enough.
Yeah,
close enough.
It's never that gross, but yeah, it's definitely not violent.
It's pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
I mean, if we were talking, you know, in a room where we could spoil it, I would tell you exactly what I'm referring to, but I don't want to ruin anything, especially
there's
a movie like that. I don't think people should know anything about it going in.
There's definitely some murder moments where it's weird for someone to be like, that wasn't gratuitous. That was completely, yeah.
Well, I was just surprised by him going out of his way to say that it's not gratuitous when I was watching a couple of the scenes, but I agree with him. There is, you know, there's some filmmakers that know how to like pour it on hard in some scenes, and then other scenes are not gratuitous at all. Like they don't feel like you have to see it every single time.
Yeah. And I just had fun watching it. Like a lot of movies now, especially like movies that get reviewed, a lot of like raved, a lot of them are like so dour sometimes. And it was just like, nice to, especially these days, like, I feel like people think if they make something really dour, people think it's ultimately like really good, you know, not to say movies, but I have a couple in mind, but like, this was just fun. It's nice to like, just watch. I mean, I love, you know, I don't only love fun movies, but it's nice to just watch something really fun and entertaining that also does have some depth, you know?
It's hard to keep the energy up in some of these things where it's just a few actors go off to a house or a rental or whatever, and then bad things happen. You know, like it's, you need more bodies for a bigger body count and more things to happen.
But it's pretty entertaining the whole way. Cause it's also good characters, which I think is like crucial for like a horror movie. So it's like Midsommar or Get Out, where the characters themselves are engaging to watch, whether it's a horror moment or not.
I think you're probably beating John at this point. You know, it's too early to tell.
Oh, Lord.
Have you seen X, John?
I have not, but I've been on both the podcasts where people have talked about X. So I've got to see it now.
Now you're getting fired up for it.
I am.
All right, let's see what Sam's got. What do you have for us, Sam?
I too have a controversial film, older, from 1988, I believe. I know it's a very divisive movie. People either love this movie or they hate this movie. People, I walked out of the theater, they were so upset. And it stars Tom Hanks and is called Big.
Okay, so that was really fun what you did there.
Wasn't it fun? No, here's the real truth. So I recently rewatched for the 100th time Big with my soon-to-be wife, and neither of us had actually sat and watched it from start to finish in well over 10 years. And it is such an amazing movie. Not that we all didn't know that, but if it's been more than 10 years since you've actually sat and watched it start to finish, I highly encourage you to do so. It is such a sweet, feel-good movie, especially the very famous scene where Tom Hanks and Robert Loggia dance on the big piano at FAO Schwartz. Like, I can't remember the last movie I saw that had such a simple, fun, pure, joyous scene like that in it, in a, you know, a PG-13 movie.
Especially with a thug like Robert Loggia involved.
A typical criminal actor, Robert Loggia, who right before that was an Armed and Dangerous. It really lifted my spirits in the most delightful way that I was not expecting when the movie just started playing. And by the end of it, I was in such a better mood. So check out Big and marvel at the people behind the movie. It was co-written by Gary Ross, man.
Let me just play devil's advocate for a second.
Sure.
And say devil's advocate is better.
Wow. No,
just kidding. Doesn't unrelated. No. Here's the thing about Big, because I did see it again recently, and I echo your sentiment that it is very, very well done, very entertaining movie.
Yeah.
And even kind of keeps the notion that this child could figure out how to work in an office and succeed and everything. It all really plays, you know, pretty real. Mm-hmm. But the one thing they touch on, but that now just sits with me, is now it's a movie about a boy who disappears, and his mother had no idea where he is, what's happened to him, if he's dead or alive, or if he's being tortured or trafficked or God knows what. Mm-hmm. And her situation is like that through much of the film. And so once that, watching it now, seeing that aspect of it, going, oh yeah, that's right. She really gets put through the ringer on this. Cause then he also shows up and is an adult and is like going, I'm your son. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Right. No, the great Mercedes rule for sure. But I feel like you are possibly forgetting there are several scenes where he calls home.
He does. Yeah.
And then he writes and he sends
where he's like, I'm okay. Like,
right.
They'd have you say if you're at gunpoint, you're being held. And
right. And then he sends letters. Remember, he writes a whole bunch of letters, and then
they
the next
to cover that with that shit. But I think your typical mother, would be like, "Holy crap, what a thing to have to go through."
My issue, if we're gonna go to that, is where's the dad in all of this? We only see the dad at the carnival in the opening of the movie, and then the entire rest of the movie, Josh's home life is only his poor mother who thinks her son has been kidnapped.
I swear, I just saw it a month or two ago, and I would have, if asked, I would have said it was about a single mom. I don't even remember a dad ever being present.
Yeah, he's got a dad and a baby sister.
I guess because he like comes to visit her that one time when she's just home during the day and the dad's at work, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, an excellent choice, though. We've got Big and X and Flesh Gordon. And be sure to check them all out if you haven't, and then don't be cross with me if you don't. I mean, three pretty fairly wildly different films we have to choose from here, so it's an excellent selection.
And you know what? I want to apologize. I said that my movie Big was controversial and divisive, and I didn't mean that. I want to be clear about that.
Yeah, we argued about it a little bit, though.
I know.
All right. We have to go to a break, and then we're gonna play some games. So we'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We're back. Our first game today is something that I call ABCD's Nuts.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's a fun game. It's a random game, and I think the three of you will be great at it. I will give you one letter at a time, and then whoever's turn it is has to name a movie that begins with that letter. You match me, you win. And we're going to spell something out, so you also know, you should know. Sometimes people get confused, as do I. But you should know what letter is going to be yours, because we, you know, go in order and we spell something. And since it's Easter, and people will still be excited about it for a week or so when they're listening to this podcast, they can't wait to hear more about Easter. you know, coming down from that high of the Easter egg hunt takes days.
Yeah, Peeps and Cadbury eggs are like 50 to 80% off starting tomorrow.
Right? Or started now is you're listening when the podcast is out, because we come out the next day.
Perfect.
We're going to spell rabbit hole in honor of Easter. Yeah, some people might have thought I'd go the Jesus direction, but no. We're going to spell rabbit hole, and we'll go with the three gentlemen in alphabetical order as introduced earlier in the show. So we'll start with John Erler. Name any movie that begins with R.
This is a good one.
Okay.
Because I enjoy this movie. Royal Tenenbaums.
Okay. I'll give you a pass on that one, but the film was called The Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh.
We're really strict on the T word. The word is it starts with the letter T, so that makes it a little harder that you can't use those words. But I let it go because great movie and great answer.
Wreck-It Ralph. I change it. Wreck-It Ralph.
Okay, now that starts with a W.
You don't remember the R sound?
You're getting more wrong. No, it has to be the letter R. Okay. And so that's why I wrote down a motion picture called Rabbit Test.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Stars Billy Crystal as the first pregnant man.
Mm-hmm.
Written and directed by Joan Rivers, the only movie she ever directed. Okay. I could say a lot about each of these titles, but we don't have that kind of time. Renan, the next letter is A. The first title is Rabbit Test. There is a theme to these answers. What's your A movie?
Alice in Wonderland?
We already have a winner. That is the correct answer.
Whoa.
This is a super fun game.
Hang on, everybody. Oh, my goodness. I had to go get that sound effect. this, you know, happens pretty rarely, but Renan just killed it with the correct answer. The second one is Alice in Wonderland, followed by Bambi, Bunny Lake is missing. A movie starring Matthew Modine from 1999 called If dot 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 dog dot 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 rabbit. Never heard of that. T was the house bunny. W was Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I know there's no W in rabbit hole, but I thought that was funny. H is a motion picture called Say It With Me, Guys. Harvey.
Harvey.
Oh, yes.
And then L is something called, oh, O is Over the Moon. L is Legend of Kung Fu Rabbit. And E is Easter Bunny Kill Kill.
You could also have done Watership Downs for
It's rife with W's, but of course, Rabbit Hole doesn't have a W in it, at least not the traditional hole.
Yeah.
So the theme was Easter movies?
Rabbits.
No, I know.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, most of them are Easter movies, but they're all rabbit movies.
Yeah. I thought you might have snuck a Ten Commandments movie in there, just for one of the teas.
I could have, you know, I always get dangerously close because also, like, I was really struggling with the letter O, and then I realized there's a bunch of, you know, there's rabbit in that animated Netflix thing called Over the Moon. Oh. That was fantastic because it gets us, you know, gives us plenty of time for our next movie because Renan took that one down so quickly.
Yeah.
And plus also a lot of people are probably sitting listening to this going, I wish the next commercial break would come quicker. And now it will, because that game ended so quickly.
So I feel like I lucked out, though.
Congrats to everybody involved.
I feel like I lucked out because I'd never heard of any of those other movies.
You've heard of Bambi. You said Alice
and I heard of Bambi and Harvey. But there's a
and Harvey. What about the house bunny? Surely you know about the house bunny.
Heard of the house bunny or Easter porn or whatever the other ones you said.
Yeah, there's some terrible horror movies. Also, another H would have been Hot. And then there's a bunch of Peter Rabbit movies, but there's no P. There's no peeing in Rabbit Hole, and there's no crying in baseball. Did you see Tom Hanks throw out that first pitch?
Sure did.
It was not a great throw, but, you know, what are you going
to
do?
It was a volleyball. It's tough to throw a volleyball.
Was it better?
He threw a whole volleyball?
Yeah, he threw Wilson.
I thought he brought a volleyball as a joke. Didn't he actually have to throw a baseball? Don't they really want a first pitch?
Oh, I thought he threw Wilson. I was drunk when I watched that clip.
I think he brought Wilson, but you really just throw Wilson over the first plate and then they start the game?
Now I don't know anymore. Now I feel like I'm being gaslit.
Like bad luck to throw a bloody volleyball over the whole plate. But I think the catcher caught it in his glove. You couldn't catch Wilson in your glove, could you?
No, maybe he did throw a real baseball. I remember seeing the image of him. What it looked like it was him throwing Wilson, but I guess maybe he just held it up.
It's funny that they got us to pay attention to sports at all because it was Tom Hanks, but we still don't know what happened. I just know that I was just sitting there trying to think of there's no peeing. I mean, no crying. He pees in every movie. John Erler helped me to realize that because he's in like four or five different movies urinating. Oh,
Green Mile, Castaway.
Yeah.
Those are all major pees.
Yeah. Yep. Those are things you could call a pee.
A League of Their Own. Tom Hanks, famous for urinating scenes.
Yeah.
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 A League of Their Own. They call it a League of Their Own.
In Money Pit, does he pee or does the little statue pee?
The statue pees
on him.
Yeah. But we put it in the montage.
He has to pee in the Apollo movies, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
The constellation Urine, as Bo Paxton says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seems so wholesome, but it's weird that in his rider, he's like, I have to pee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every movie.
His biography is going to be called Hanks for All the Piss. All right, we got to go to another break, and then we're going to come back and play our final game of the day. Renan gets to go first in the next game. Is that an advantage? We'll find out after this.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We are back. Everyone is on tenterhooks, whatever that means.
Sounds painful.
Sometimes it sounds like they're saying tenterhooks, but I believe tenterhooks is the correct.
It's Tinder, like the app Tinder, tenterhooks.
Mm.
Yeah, there you go. So Renan gets to go first in a game that I decided to resurrect because Amy Miller requested it, but I didn't want to do it on the episode she was on because it'd be unfair to play a game that a guest suggested. It's called Paxton Pullman.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. People often mistake Bill Paxton and Bill Pullman. One is passed, the other is still with us. But they still probably to this day get mistaken quite frequently because they're both Bills and begin with the letter P at the end and are both white males who are terrific actors, but somehow people cannot keep them apart.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But today we're playing Paxton Pullman with a twist.
Ooh.
Oh.
Today it's called Paxton Pullman Pantaleano.
Ooh.
That's
joy,
right.
Joy pants.
That's right. With every fact that I say, the answer is either going to be Bill Pullman, Bill Paxton, or Johnny Pants.
I think it's Joe.
Johnny Pants.
Joey.
Did I say
Pants.
Johnny? Joey Pants. Even written right here in front of me, Joey Pants. In other words, Pax Bull Pants.
So stupid.
So that's the game. I'll say something to Renan, gets to go first, then we'll, if he misses it, then Sam gets a shot, and if he misses it, then John, at least in this first round, has a potential gimme on his hands, because it will be narrowed down to only one answer, because every time, every fact is related to either Paxton Pullman or Pantaleano. Renan?
Nervous.
This is yours to lose at this point.
Yeah.
I mentioned their names in a Twitter poll this morning.
Oh, boy.
Just question mark, and then their names. Who got the highest percentage of votes?
I love these questions where there's no way I could ever know the answer.
Well, you know, that's what Sherlock Holmes is thinking when he walks into a crime scene and then he walks out with a solution and an accusation. allegedly. Sherlock Holmes doesn't say allegedly enough.
So you did a Twitter poll with three of them and whoever voted the most.
Yeah, whoever got the most. I don't know what people would be voting based on, like the one
I assume
the one they hate the most.
Yeah. I assume your fans would have the decency to vote the most for Bill Paxton just because he's passed from us.
That's what gets you a boost up in this world.
Well, I mean, he's dead. I don't know. But then
it's like a respect vote.
No. I won't do that. You know, because the truth is, I mean, Joey Pants is the best out of all three of them, so I'll go with him.
You're going Joey Pants?
Yeah.
Lock it in.
Unless you're I'm gonna go with I'm going with Bill Paxton. I'm keeping it with Bill Paxton.
Okay, we're gonna lock in Bill Paxton.
Mm-hmm.
No changes now.
No changes.
It's got to be Bill Paxton or nothing for you.
All right.
That is correct.
Yep.
Whoa.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens when you watch Family Feud at home. You're like, I thought of that.
Yeah.
Our boy Paxton got 50% of the vote, and the other two fellows split the other 50%. 30 going to Pants, and only 20 to Pullman. So a lot of sinner viewers out there, or at least maybe there's some sinner viewers that don't like his fetish.
Wow. What's his fetish in it?
His fetish is getting stepped on by high heels.
Oh, yeah.
That was season one. I haven't watched season two. Maybe he's moved on.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. I was swayed by the respect vote thing, but I was like, yeah, I should stick with it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing more fun than talking people out of the right answer.
I almost succumbed.
Yeah. Plus just the pressure of saying you have to choose now. It's like, oh, well, wait, why? What's the rush?
Okay. Well, you were like, yeah, you think they're going to do a respect vote? I'm like, oh, I guess not. That's really stupid. And then I switched, but I got my confidence back. I don't know why I'm explaining my strategy like we're after a basketball game. But yeah.
It's all good. It's all good. Sam's up first on this next round.
Oh, boy.
All right. Let's see. All you have to do, Sam, is tell me which one, Pax, Pull, or Pants, was born in 1953.
That's all I have to do?
That's all you have to do is think about it and tell me the correct answer. Of those three fellas, which one was born in 53?
I will say Pullman.
Because of respect out of for him still being alive?
Well, no, because I didn't think the answer would be Paxton twice in a row. And I'm pretty sure Joey Pants is like 70 now. I vaguely remember reading something about Joey Pants turning 70 a year or two ago. So that would mean that he's could not have been born in 53. So, but that is what I'm basing it on.
So you're sticking with Pullman.
I will stick with Pullman. Final answer.
You're absolutely confident.
No, I have, I would say my degree of confidence is 50%.
Okay. That is the correct answer.
Okay.
You nailed it, Sam.
Right on.
Excellent work.
Thank you.
Everybody's playing so well today. Like these games usually take longer.
I'll John, help with that. I think I can slow things down for us.
John, yes, really chew on this one.
Okay.
Really give it the old Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You've got all the time you need.
Okay.
To answer, which one of those three actors played Dr. Giordano in one episode of Cagney and Lacey?
Well, if the doctor's name was Giordano and they were looking to kind of pigeonhole the character as an Italian, the obvious answer would be Joey Pants. Giordano Pantoliano. But it's too easy. It's too easy. Cagney and Lacey. 1980s.
I really appreciate that we all really take a moment to sit and think about these very serious questions. To give well, very serious answers.
There's no
reason
answers. To, you know, blurt something out because there might be something. You know, there might be something to what John's saying here to help figure it out. Or it could just be babbling.
It's true. I'm going to go with the obvious answer, Joey Pants. Lock it in. Final answer.
You're going with it.
Okay, I changed my mind.
You're staying with the pants. Your pants positive.
Yeah. I found myself the perfect pair of pants. All right. That doesn't work.
Here comes the sound effect.
Oh.
Which one do you think it's going to be, John?
Well, I don't ask me that. I hope it's going to be the whistle or whatever that is.
Oh, wow.
The zany whistle. The
other one. We haven't even heard the other one yet. The other two players were perfect. So we haven't heard the other sound.
There's a lot of pressure. Give me the zany whistle.
Yeah, here we go.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, no, indeed.
Wow.
Renan, between Coleman and Paxton, who do you think played Dr. Giordano in one episode of the smash hit cop drama Cagney and Lacey?
I don't know. Paxton?
You're going Paxton?
Yeah.
You're locking that in?
Sure.
Wow. Damn, I don't know if you've ever wanted to win like this.
Uh-huh.
But all you have to do now is tell me the remaining name, the person who indeed played.
Oh, Dr. God.
Oh, no. This is just like on Wheel of Fortune. You just have to say it without any mistakes.
Right. So I want to say Bill Macy, but I know that can't be an answer.
You already saying the words that would get you thrown out of Wheel of Fortune.
I think.
Answer the puzzle.
I believe my answer, Pat, is Bill Pullman.
That is the correct.
Ironically, that's who
I find my whistle. I dropped my whistle.
No.
Congratulations, Sam Levine. You did it.
Oh,
yeah. First to 2 points. Yeah.
How about that?
There's only three rounds and a tiebreaker. Want to play the tiebreaker?
For funsies, sure.
All right. Let's let John go first. John, what an amazing run you've had on the show.
Thank you, Doug.
It's been great having you, and I will hit you up either in person or via this style again very soon. Here's the tiebreaker. You're stepping away from Paxton Pullman and just asking something very random. Who do you think got the most votes in this poll that I'm about to tell you about? Same deal, just a question mark and then three names. Who got the most votes this morning when I asked Walt Disney, Walter Matthau, Walton Goggins?
Oh, God.
Oh, indeed.
Hmm?
Three of the biggest Walts in the history of entertainment.
Yeah. What about Walter White?
Fictional, but sure. Well. Big one. He's a big one. I think he would, you know, unfortunately, I think he'd walk away with this. These others are, I mean, I you know, there's things to not like about Walt Disney, to be certain. But
sure.
I do enjoy Disneyland and a lot of their movies. And Walter Matthau is just a great, awesome actor is no longer with us, but was quite grumpy before he left. And then Walton Goggins. I mean, shit. The Shield, The Righteous Gemstones. Was he in Eastbound and Down also?
Probably. He was certainly on Justified.
Right. And then he had that show, The Unicorn. I guess that stopped.
I think it's over.
Yeah. So should have called that one The Last Unicorn. what do you think, John Erler, between those three?
I can only go with my heart and who I would have voted for, and that is Walter Matthau.
You know what? Don't ever go on a game show with that damn heart. Did the wrong one again.
Too late. I got the win sound effect. You can't take it back.
I was so confused. He said, "Don't ever go on a game show with that heart," and then played the correct noise. And I was so.
I was the perfect burn, and then I did the wrong noise.
Well,
but the whistle is more fun than the boing sound, but no, I'm sorry, that's incorrect. He only got 34% of the vote. Someone else got more than that.
Oh,
so that leaves Walt Disney and Walton Goggins. Renan, do you have a
a guess between those two?
I mean, as a Jew, I'd be very deeply offended if your fans were anti-Semitic. So I'll go with Walter Goggins.
Walter Goggins?
I mean, whatever his name
Can
is.
Can you even give it as an answer if you can't say his name?
I'm going to go with, how about water goggles?
Wait, what's his name?
His name's Walton.
Walton?
Walton, like the family that owns Walmart.
Like the pond.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll go with Walter Goggins.
Yeah. Come on!
Yeah, this is hilarious. He got 61% of the vote, which left 5% for Walt Disney.
Good! May his frozen head rot in that freezer. His frozen anti-Semitic head.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Great job, everybody. What would you like to plug, Sam? You get to go first. Ooh. What's going on? What do you want people to know about?
Well, we talked about it quite a bit at the top of the show, but if you have not seen Minx, check it out. It's on HBO Max. It is super fun. The episodes are only 30 minutes each, so it's not a giant commitment. There's only 10 episodes in season one. So boom, you are done with this thing in 5 hours. You have binged all of season one and you'll be a better person for it. And of course, come find me on Cameo. That's right, I'm on Cameo. I can do birthday messages. I can do anniversary messages. But what I really enjoy doing is delivering bad news and apologizing to people.
Yeah, because, now apologize to all the listeners for saying that same thing for the 50th time.
Well, you know, I find, Doug, that I get several more Cameo requests after I'm on one of your shows.
No, it does grateful. Work. You do give it a strong sell, and I'm sorry to try to undercut that.
No, it's quite all right.
If people just go back and listen to the last time you were on, they can hear all about it.
fair enough.
And you're going to be on again soon.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what happens when you win, is you get.
Oh, I see.
Back in,
you know, all right. Like, you know what? I'll cancel my wedding. Make sure I'm free.
Wait, your wedding's next weekend?
Almost. The one after.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to need you to come back next weekend if you can, but we can discuss that off air.
Okay, buddy.
All right. But thank you as always. And congratulations on your upcoming nuptials.
Thank you. Thank you.
John Erler.
Doug Benson.
One last plug before you go out, before you ride off into the sunset.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be on the show. And I'm honored to have lost to the giant killer, Sam Levine. And honestly, like my friend John Smith, we'll call him John Smith, said that it was going to take a Sam Levine to bring me down, and it did. And also, I was stunned by the skills of Renan Hirschberg.
Another again.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to leave you out because I learned a lot today about.
I feel like Will Smith. I mean, Chris Rock. Will Smith doesn't mention him at the Oscar speech at the end.
No, it was a pleasure and an honor to lose to both of you. And here's my plug. I do a movie riffing show called Master Pancake Theater, and you can catch us for free on Twitch if you just go to that Master Pancake Theater address. And we do shows Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I'm really excited about next Saturday, April 23rd. We're going to do a, much like the movie Big, a very polarizing film.
Mm.
It's called Grease 2.
Oh, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, well, that might have helped if they had that in there. No, this is the sequel to Grease starring Michelle Pfeiffer and Maxwell Caulfield from Empire Records, Rex Manning of Empire Records. And I have always disliked this movie, but the three people I'm going to riff it with are fans of this movie, which should be interesting. We're going to have Mary Jo Peel from Mystery Science Theater 3000, Martha Kelly of Baskets and Euphoria, and Owen Edgerton from Bloodfest are going to be the other three riffers. So it's going to be great. I'm excited.
Yeah, that sounds, those three, I mean, Mary Jo hasn't been on, but the other two, that sounds like a Douglas Movies panel. And yeah. But I have questions starting with how many actors from Grease are in Grease 2? I think I can only think of two.
Yeah. I think, I'm blanking on her name, but Pinky, the hairstylist,
Didi Khan.
Thank you. Didi Khan. And I think,
isn't she Frenchie?
Thank you. Frenchie. It's okay. Frenchie.
One of the pink ladies. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I wanted to say Pinky Tuscadero. So
the Pinky
bad,
ladies are a totally different group. They're like really into specific, doing specific things with one finger.
And I don't know, but I think one of the principals, you know, who does the school announcements, maybe one or both of those ladies are in Grease too as well. But yeah, other than that, they completely rehauled it. There's no Olivia Newton-John. There's no John Travolta. There's no Kinnicky.
Isn't Pamela Adlon in Grease too? I think she does have a small role in it.
Yeah, it seems probably true.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's one of those movies where, like, I think the best number in it, the thing that's closest to being as good as the first movie, if you're a fan of the first movie, is the bowling alley thing
mm-hmm.
in the beginning of part two. And then it just kind of keeps going. I just lose more and more interest until by the time it's over, I just wish I didn't get involved.
I feel the same as you about it. At least with like Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta, you got two megawatt star powers to kind of keep your interest, you know, throughout the film, even if the film is lacking. But I don't know. Michelle Pfeiffer's fine in it. She's good. You can't say a bad thing about Michelle Pfeiffer. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Boring. The characters aren't interesting.
Yeah. I've never been a fan, but there are fans of this movie, and we're going to have three of them on to talk about.
Yeah. I'm pissing some of them off right now.
Yeah.
That's all very cool. Thanks again, John. Renan Hirschberg, what would you like to plug?
Well, I got my movie podcast, Joe and Ron on Talk Movies with Joe List, but also follow me on, subscribe to my YouTube channel, because I just filmed a special and it'll be airing there in a couple months. So that's just my name, Ranan Hirschberg on YouTube, RaNan. Last name Hirschberg, HERSHBERG. And also Sam, by the way, I wanted to say, I'm a big fan, but you're also the first person ever in a movie to have my name that I've seen.
From Bastards.
Yeah.
Right on. Do people ever say, damn it, Hirschberg, to you?
I don't get that as much because people are so fixated on how like weird my first name is. They don't even get to the last name.
Well, let's start a trend going.
But yeah, but it was very exciting to see. I never heard a Hirschberg ever. Oh. So you gave a representation to me.
My pleasure.
Only me and my family, pretty much. But it meant a lot.
Oh my! I'm believe me, it was a great honor. It was named after
Panther, I felt
a female friend of Quentin's. Her name is actually Hirschberger.
Oh really?
So, yeah, but he shortened it to just Hirschberg for the movie. Yeah,
I recently met him in Tel Aviv, and I forgot I was going to ask him where he got that name.
There you go.
Oh yeah, awesome. Thank you for. It was very moving.
My pleasure.
Representation matters. Representation's very important.
Just to shoot the guy before they want to kill him and get that damn it Hirschberg. I felt connected to that.
I'm touched.
I'm doing stand up on 420 in Portland, Oregon. With our buddy Sean Jordan's going to be there. It's at the Helium Comedy Club in Portland, and that's on 420. And then Doug Loves Movies is coming to the Netflix's Joke Festival in Hollywood on Sunday, May 1st at the Avalon Nightclub, but at 420 in the afternoon. So come on out for that if you're in L.A., and douglovesmovies.com is where you can get all of my upcoming dates and deets. I always say the name. I always say a line from a motion picture at the end, and the last line from a movie to be more specific. And today I was just sort of like, fuck it. But thank you once again to all three of my guests: Sam Levine, who'll be back soon; John Erler, also will be back soon, just not as soon, and say and deal with Ranan Hirschberg.
Never be.
I'll be back.
but you know, mixed in with some ladies, maybe.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't like these all dude shows. You know, we were just throwing out so hard the whole time.
Listen, yeah, talking about big Disney,
a lot of filthy garage talk.
Talked so yeah. much about dungs.
Classic locker talk. How Grease 2 didn't live up to Grease 1. That's your classic problematic boys talk.
Thanks, guys. Thank As you. Always, last line from a movie here.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in